Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, December 9th, 2023. Analysis. Residents can expect to pay hundreds less on tax bill. Legislature's homestead exemption increase will be reason for smaller tax bill. The property tax reduction passed by the Texas legislature during the 2023 session is likely to mean a decrease of more than $400 to the average residential property owner's tax bill during the 2023 tax year. The next tax year for most taxing entities started in October, and the Reporter Telegram collected tax rates and figured out tax bills based on average market values, as determined by the Midland Central Appraisal District. MCAD showed the average market value for a home increased from $320,824 in tax year 2022 to $337,646 in tax year 2023, an increase of 5.24%. At the same time, combined tax rates for Midland ISD, the City of Midland, Midland County, the Midland Hospital District, and Midland College dropped by 4.08%. What does that mean for the tax bill? Taking those numbers into consideration, without homestead slash disability exemptions, and the Midland Central Appraisal District showed the total levy amount increased from $5,012.54 in 2022 to $5,060.04 in 2023, an increase of less than 1%. The City of Midland and Midland ISD, before homestead slash disability exemptions were factored, both showed increases in their total tax levies of $44.95 and $26.26, respectively. This is where the Texas legislature comes in. Elected officials voted to increase the state's homestead exemption from $40,000 to $100,000. This increase was approved by Texas voters in November. Add in the school district's $10,000 exemption, and that increase in the homestead exemption will allow those inside the City of Midland to receive a considerable savings on their Midland ISD tax bills. A Reporter Telegram analysis showed that when one factors in the homestead exemptions, the tax bill this year for an, quote, average market value, end quote, home will be around $4,060, around $490 less than the tax bill in tax year 2022. MCAD did not confirm these numbers. What about the future? Midland ISD officials have stated that the passage of the $1.415 billion bond on November 7th won't have any more of a yearly impact than what was experienced in tax year 2023, around a 17.75 cent per $100 valuation increase than if the bond had not passed. Midland County leaders are looking to build a $170 million jail facility. A county official at a recent meeting of the Commissioner's Court recently stated the tax impact on a $350,000 would be $182 a year. County leaders are considering bypassing the voters and passing a certificate of obligation themselves to pay for the jail. City of Midland officials also have talked bonds. They are looking for a solution to the firefighters' pension crisis. Mayor Lori Blong stated should a bond be used to help make the pension whole, that it could require a tax increase of, quote, $156 on an average home, end quote. City officials are also considering a, quote, cash infusion, end quote, with money in reserves or expected to come through the, quote, park special purpose, end quote, or oil fund. Here is a comparison of tax rates and average market values provided by the Midland Central Appraisal District. 2023, Midland ISD, 0.877000, $2,961.16. City, 0.350662, $1,184. Midland County, 0.120430, $406.63. Midland College, 0.077410, $261.37. Midland Hospital, $0.073120. $246.89. Total, $1.498622. $5,060.04. Average market value for home, $337,646. Estimates do not include homestead / disability exemptions. 2022 tax rate levy amount, Midland ISD, $0.914800, $2,934.90. City, $0.355039, $1,139.05. Midland County, $0.131112, $420.64. Midland Hospital, $0.081446, $261.30. Midland College, $0.080000, $256.66. Total, $1.562397, $5,012.54. Average market value for home, $320,824. Estimates do not include homestead / disability exemptions. Christmas night flights resume with Midland's CAF High Sky Wing. For commemorative Air Force Colonel Bill Coombs and Docent Greg Gutting, the attraction toward planes remains a constant in both men's lives. Quote, "My dad was a naval aviator in World War II," end quote, Coombs said during an interview at the hangar of the CAF High Sky Wing. Quote, "I grew up with planes," end quote. Gutting, a retired history teacher, had a different pathway to the CAF when his spouse sponsored a flight for him. Quote, "I had a lot of fun," end quote, Gutting recalled of his first flight. Quote, "My first thought was of how can I keep doing this, and so I have been here ever since," end quote. Every year, the CAF hosts an air show in September for the public. But as a fundraiser, the nonprofit also features Christmas lights, night flights. Quote, "We are trying to preserve the memory of the Midland Army Airfield, which was one of the largest training bases during the war," end quote, Coombs said while explaining the fundraiser and the mission of the CAF. Quote, "One year we took a few of these planes up to Arlington, and the compliment we received despite all of the fancy private jets we encountered was, 'You guys have the coolest airplane out here,'" end quote, Gutting said. Both Gutting and Coombs note the historical value and significance of the CAF. Quote, "It's not something that you can easily replicate," end quote, Coombs said. Quote, "It's a treasure. We consider all these things national treasures because they represent a time in our history when we were the good guys and we made the world safe for democracy," end quote. The main takeaway from the Christmas night flights, which are being offered to the public, is that it acts as the CAF's largest fundraiser. Quote, "We are trying to get the word out," end quote, Gutting said. Quote, "We still do all of these things," end quote. The Christmas lights night flights continue through Sunday. Flights are scheduled every 30 minutes, beginning at 6 p.m., with the last flight taking off at 9:30 p.m. Cabin seats cost $75 per person, and there are only 4 seats available per flight. The co-pilot seat is $145 and is only available to 1 person per flight. The entire plane is $395, all 5 seats, with a $50 savings. Riders must be at least 5 years old or above, and all children must be accompanied by an adult. Passengers must be able to enter and exit the aircraft on their own and be able to fit in a regular airline seat. To book a flight, please email rides@highskywing.org and include a phone number, along with the requested times and dates and number of seats needed. CAF members advise arriving 30 minutes before the scheduled flight. The address is 9600 Wright Drive in Midland. Passengers are encouraged to wear comfortable clothing and shoes. The plane being used on the flights is the Beech C-45, dubbed the, quote, "Spirit of West Texas," end quote, a World War II plane aircraft that seats 5 passengers. According to the CAF's press release, the Beech C-45 was first flown in January 1937. Quote, "Initial sales were slow, with only 39 units produced before the outbreak of World War II," end quote, the press release read. Quote, "However, C-45 versions of the plane were widely used by the Army and Navy as trainers for pilots, gunners, bombardiers, and navigators, and as personnel and cargo transports," end quote. The Commemorative Air Force High Sky Wing is a 501c3 organization. For more information, please text 432-254-6182. Endeavor Energy explores sale for as much as $30 billion, Reuters says. Endeavor Energy, the largest closely held oil and gas company in the Permian Basin, is exploring a sale that could value it between $25 billion and $30 billion, according to Reuters. The Midland-based company, founded by Autry Stevens, has enlisted J.P. Morgan Chase to launch a sale process in the first quarter of 2024, Reuters said, citing people familiar with the matter. The move comes as Endeavor's publicly traded rivals face pressure from investors to keep buybacks and dividends flowing, even as the North American shale sector matures and growth slows. With many of the best production sites already tapped, companies flush with cash from the post-pandemic run-up in oil prices are increasingly buying rivals to secure new places to drill. The potential sale follows ExxonMobil Corp's $60 billion agreement to buy Pioneer Natural Resources Company and Chevron Corp's pending $53 billion takeover of Hess Corp. Endeavor holds a massive position in the Permian and has drawn interest in the past from Exxon, Chevron Corp, and ConocoPhillips. It controls rights to about 350,000 acres and produces 331,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day, according to Bloomberg Intelligence. Jingle Bell Jubilee Christmas Parade takes place Saturday. Midland's annual lighted Christmas parade will take place Saturday along A Street in central Midland. The City of Midland reported that the, quote, tradition of the lighted Christmas parade continues Saturday at 6:30 p.m. The theme is Jingle Bell Jubilee, end quote. Quote, the parade route will travel A Street from Midland's Park to Midland High, end quote, the city reported. Quote, we will have food trucks set up at 4:30 p.m. around Wadley Barron Park. There also will be an opportunity after the parade to snap some pictures with Santa at Wadley Barron Park, end quote. Things to do. Comic-Con, Holly Jolly Market, top community roundup. Holly Jolly Market. Get all your holiday shopping done at once by attending the Holly Jolly Market, courtesy of Modern Pop-Up Market. Taking place at the tailgate, guests can expect vendors with fresh baked goods, clothing, permanent and non-permanent jewelry, glass creations, woodworks, hats, condiments, sweet treats, plants, and other goodies. No entry fee. Santa will also be on site to take pictures. Sunday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., 4401 North Big Spring Street. MCSO Christmas at the Horseshoe. The Midland County Sheriff's Office and Inner Court will present Christmas at the Horseshoe event on December 16th. Those wanting to donate to the toy drive can do so at Texas Roadhouse, 4512 West Loop 250 North. Academy Sports and Outdoors, 5300 West Wadley Avenue. Dollar General, 6507 FM 307. Dollar General, 10404 FM 307. Midland County Annex, 2110 North A Street. Community National Bank, 1609 North Midland Drive. Note, Texas Roadhouse is offering a free appetizer with the donation of a toy at the restaurant. Fix West Texas Santa's Workshop. Fix West Texas will have its Santa's Workshop and Adoption event from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. The event includes free pictures with Santa, pay what you can afford, dog and cat gifts, and vaccination clinic, and an adoption event. Fix West Texas is located at 5023 Princeton, Suite 17. Online, fixwesttexas.org. Community calendar. Permian Basin Comic Con, Holiday Edition 2 at the Horseshoe through Sunday. Jingle Bell Jubilee Christmas Parade from Winlands Park to Midland High, Saturday. Breakfast with Santa at Midland Park Mall, December 16th. 2023 Chamber Centennial Kickoff Soiree, December 18th. Bush Convention Center. Regular events. Rescue Runners, 8 to 10 a.m., first and third Saturdays, Midland Animal Shelter. Note, no rescue runners on December 2nd. Gentle Healing Yoga for Cancer-Impacted People, noon and 5:30 p.m. Monday. Yoga Sanctuary, 4202 Dawn Circle, 79707. One Bite at a Time's Cancer Support Groups, every second Tuesday of each month, 7 p.m. at 3813 North Midland Drive. Upcoming meetings. Midland City Council, 10 a.m. Tuesday, Council Chamber, City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. Commissioner's Court, 10 a.m. Wednesday, Commissioner's Courtroom, Midland County Courthouse, 500 North Lorraine Street. Holiday shipping dates. USPS Ground Advantage Service, December 16th. First Class Mail Service, December 16th. Priority Mail Service, December 18th. Priority Mail Express Service, December 20th. Cornyn, Bug, Evans, special guests at PSP 5-Year Celebration. U.S. Senator John Cornyn, former U.S. Secretary of Commerce Don Evans, and Texas Transportation Commission Chairman J. Bruce Bug, Jr., discussed energy, transportation, and more at the Permian Strategic Partnership's 5th Anniversary Celebration at Odessa College on Friday. The event celebrated 5 years of the Permian Strategic Partnership, including the $160 million that the PSP has already invested into the Permian Basin and collective investments totaling $1.5 billion. During the event, Cornyn, Evans, and Bug discussed the social needs of the Permian Basin in the future, especially as it relates to energy and transportation. Cornyn discussed what he called false rhetoric circulating around Washington, D.C., surrounding the Permian Basin's major industry. Quote, "For some reason, there are these false narratives that if we buy everybody an electric vehicle, all of a sudden we'll achieve nirvana," end quote, Cornyn said. Quote, "Unfortunately, there are so many people who don't understand what a blessing this is," end quote. Cornyn said coalitions like the Permian Strategic Partnership are important because they tell the story of the Permian Basin. Quote, "Usually what I encounter in Washington, D.C. is somebody has the bright idea to list a sand dune, sagebrush, lizard as an endangered species or wants to protect the lesser prairie chicken or something like that. And frankly, just make the job harder for producers down here," end quote. Cornyn supported lifting the export ban on American energy. Cornyn said this has added to the global significance of the Permian Basin's major industries. Bug discussed roads in Midland, Odessa, and the Permian Basin. He said the Texas Transportation Commission passed a $142.3 billion budget in August and is dedicating $6.3 billion in funding solely to Permian Basin roads. Bug said the Midland-Odessa area has the highest rate of motorist fatalities in the state. 11% of all fatalities on Texas roads are in Midland-Odessa, Bug shared. Quote, "At TxDOT, safety is job number one. We've looked at the fatality statistics in the Midland-Odessa, which are terrible," end quote, Bug said. "This has and will lead to increased funding for roads in the Permian Basin." Quote, "We're engineering in special safety issues, making wider lanes than we normally would, making the stress for the roadway so they can handle the weight," end quote, Bug added. In the future, Evans discussed PSP's main focuses in the future: education, healthcare, infrastructure, and workforce programs in the Permian Basin. Quote, "When I hear that only 40% of the fourth graders can read at grade level in the area, that's a problem," end quote, Evans said. Quote, "So we're going to continue to focus on that. See how we can support education across the Permian Basin," end quote. He said the coalition will focus on bringing more healthcare facilities to the area in the future. Life Tributes. William Springle Decker, Jr., 9/25/1947 to 11/29/2023. William Bill Springle Decker, Jr. passed away on November 29, 2023, in Houston, Texas. He was born on September 25, 1947, to W.S. Bill Decker, Sr. and Florence Flo Wright Decker in San Marcos, Texas. He is preceded in death by his parents, Bill and Flo Decker, as well as four grandchildren, Catherine, Kyle, Joel, and Seth Decker. He is survived by brother Bert Decker Lynn of San Angelo, Texas, sister Kathy Decker Berdane Weldon of Denison, Texas, wife of 52 years, Becky, children W.S. Will Decker III, Natalie, of League City, Texas, Wendy Decker Chambers, Greg, of Fairlawn, Ohio, and Christy Decker Copeland of Midland, Texas. He is also survived by five grandchildren: Nathaniel Decker, Brad and Zach Chambers, Lainey and Tate Copeland, as well as eight nieces and nephews. A graveside service at the Kyle Cemetery, Kyle, Texas, will be held at a later date. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that memorials be made to the Double Deckers Destroy AML Pediatric Cancer Research Fund. https://www.stbaldrick's.org/hero-funds/doubledeckers/ or to BIG Love Cancer Care. https://www.biglovecancercare.org/donate. Charles Eugene Laughlin, Jr., 11-14-1941 to 12-1-2023. Charles Eugene Laughlin, Jr., age 82, passed away on Friday, December 1st, 2023, in San Antonio, Texas. He was born on November 14, 1941, in Orange, Texas, to Nana Lee Marshall and Charles Eugene Laughlin. He was preceded in death by his father, Charles Laughlin, sister, Evelyn Hansen, mother, Nana Laughlin. Gene is survived by his wife, Charlene Laughlin, daughters, Laura Rooker and husband, Chris Rooker, Mary Lee Pyle and husband, David Pyle, and Julia Ogden and husband, Chad Ogden. Grandchildren Caleb Rooker and wife Elizabeth Lindsay Rooker, Emma Rooker, Grace Ogden, Chloe Ogden, Kate Ogden, and Elizabeth Rooker. Graveside service, Saturday, December 16, 2023, 12 o'clock p.m., Liberty Hill Cemetery, 16101 State Highway 29, West Liberty Hill, Texas. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to the Wounded Warrior Project. William Augustus Bill Attlee, 1-22-1934 to 12-4-2023. Born on Monday, January 22, 1934, in Georgetown, Texas, to Louise Winton and Mabel Edna Attlee, owners of the Attlee Press, and returned to sender on December 4, 2023. Bill is survived by Linda Catherine, his beloved wife of 65 years, and their three children: Nancy Catherine Bowman, Boise, Idaho; John Richard Attlee, McKinney, Texas; Jennifer Elizabeth Unthink, Ormond Beach, Florida. Six grandchildren and five great-grandchildren. It was his desire that he be cremated and there be only a family service after his death. Interment will be in the Central Texas State Veterans Cemetery south of Killeen, Texas. A memorial tombstone is placed near his grandparents' Matthew's gravesite. Donations in his memory may be made to the Department of Geology, Baylor University. One Bear Place, number 97026, Waco, Texas, 76798-7026. Doyle Diggs, 12-27-1943 to 12-26-2023. Bonnerdale, Arkansas. It is with deep sadness that we bid farewell to Doyle Diggs, a loving father, hardworking electrician, and passionate outdoorsman. Doyle passed away on December 6, 2023, surrounded by his family, leaving behind a legacy marked by dedication, kindness, and a zest for life. The family will receive friends from 6 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. Tuesday, December 12, 2023, at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home in Midland, Texas. Doyle leaves behind a loving family who will forever cherish his memory. He's survived by his son, Jim Diggs, who will continue to honor his father's teachings and values. He is also survived by his sister, Bobby Parker of Bonnerdale, Arkansas, and his brother, Carol Diggs of Granite Shoals, Texas. Additionally, his grandson, Michael Diggs of San Angelo, Texas, will fondly remember their shared moments of laughter and love. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Kelly Tucker. Kelly Tucker, 59, of Midland, passed away December 6, 2023. Memorial service will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. Wednesday, December 13, 2023, at Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Jesse Bonilla Reyes. Jesse Bonilla Reyes, 55, passed away on Wednesday, December 6, 2023. Viewing will be Sunday, December 10th, 2023, from 1 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m., with a prayer service beginning at 7 o'clock p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Funeral service is set for Monday, December 11th, 2023, at 11 o'clock a.m. at 10 o'clock a.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral service is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Johnny W. Whitley, 2/29/1952 to 11/29/2023. Millsap. Johnny W. Whitley, 71, of Millsap, Texas, died Wednesday, November 29, 2023. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Galbraith Pickard Funeral Chapel, Weatherford, Texas. Apartment rents in Midland dropped for second straight month. The price for an apartment in Midland dropped for the second straight month, according to apartmentlist.com. The online apartment guide showed in its monthly rent report that the monthly rent of an apartment in Midland fell 0.5% in November. The decline was common as only two larger cities across the state reported monthly increases, Odessa at 2.4% and Victoria at 0.4%. Midland did buck a trend with a yearly percentage increase, at least compared to the largest metropolitan areas, with a reported increase of 14.7% year over year. Odessa's increase compared to November 2022 was 14.2%. Apartmentlist.com reported the median one-bedroom rent in Midland during the month of November was $917. That compared to $774 in Odessa and $897 in San Angelo. The median rent for a two-bedroom apartment was $1,150 in Midland, $1,019 in Odessa, and $1,102 in San Angelo. No other West Texas communities were reported. Large metropolitan areas reported the following median two-bedroom rents: $1,265 in San Antonio, $1,275 in Houston, $1,286 in Fort Worth, $1,420 in Dallas, and $1,687 in Austin. Apartmentlist.com also stated the rental market's seasonal slowdown continued nationwide in November, with the monthly median rent falling 0.9% to $1,340, the fourth consecutive month of negative rent growth. Quote, year-over-year rent growth remains in negative territory at negative 1.1%, meaning that on average, apartments across the country are slightly cheaper today than they were 1 year ago, end quote. Apartmentlist.com reported. Quote, this stands in sharp contrast to the prevailing conditions of 2021 and 2022, end quote. Oil prices losing streak moves to 7 weeks. An uptick in optimism about the economy helped oil prices end a six-day skid that began with disappointment over the outcome of the November 30th meeting of the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and Allied Nations. Still, oil prices posted a seventh consecutive weekly decline, the longest weekly losing streak since 2018. West Texas Intermediate fell 4 or 5 trading days on the New York Mercantile Exchange, spending 2 days below $70 before rebounding Friday. WTI opened the trading week falling $1.03, and the decline accelerated Wednesday, when prices slumped $2.94 to fall below $70 a barrel. Prices rebounded $1.89 Friday to end the week at $71.23, well below the $74.07 at last Friday's close. The posted price closed the week at $67.71, according to Plains All American. Natural gas futures also had a down week on the NYMEX, falling 3 of 5 trading days. Futures opened the trading week falling 12 cents per MCF, followed by a further 14-cent drop Wednesday. Futures ended the week at $2.581 per MCF, down from $2.814 $1.8 at last Friday's close. The lackluster response to the OPEC Plus meeting raised questions about the organization's ability to affect prices. Quote, OPEC Plus still has influence on the oil price, especially in its ability to establish a floor price because OPEC Plus represents around 48% of total crude oil supply, end quote. John Pasi, president of Stratus Advisors, told the Reporter Telegram by email. The addition of Brazil to the alliance will raise that share above 50%, he added. Two, Pasi noted OPEC Plus is the only source of spare production capacity. Still, he observed the delay of the meeting until November 30th because of pushback from African producers supported the perception that the level of cooperation between the members is waning. Quote, it is difficult for OPEC Plus to maintain cooperation between all of the members, since each member has its own agenda, such as those members which are focused on increasing supply, end quote, he wrote. Pasi explained the recently announced production cuts did not have much of an immediate impact on the oil market, in part because the market was already expecting additional cuts similar to what was finally agreed to. Additionally, the cuts were announced as being voluntary, which suggests the possibility that the full extent of the cuts will not take place, he wrote. Quote, the robust growth in non-OPEC plus crude supply, around 2.5 million barrels per day, including the growth in U.S. production, around 1.6 million barrels per day, during the last 2 years has put further pressure on OPEC plus, end quote, Pasi wrote. Looking to 2024, he wrote that while oil demand has continued to increase over the last 2 years and has outstripped supply since mid-year, there is a concern that demand growth will slow in 2024 because of weakness in the global economy and because of the increasing role of alternative fuels and electric vehicles. Quote, our view is that the production cuts will ultimately provide support for oil prices. Prior to the announcement of the additional cuts, we were forecasting that oil demand would outstrip oil supply by around 600,000 barrels a day during the first and second quarters of 2024. As such, any additional cuts by OPEC Plus will result in further supply deficits, even with our forecasted increase in non-OPEC supply, end quote, he concluded. Baker Hughes rig count claims fourth weekly gain. Drilling activity continues to inch higher, though activity levels remain significantly lower than a year ago. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday, the U.S. rig count it has issued weekly since 1944 posted its fourth weekly gain, the first four-week rise since last November. The count rose one rig to 626, the highest level since September, yet still 154 rigs, or 20%, below the 780 reported last year. The number of rigs drilling for crude oil dropped two rigs to 503, 122 fewer than the 625 rigs drilling for oil a year ago. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas rose three to 119, the highest level since September, but down 34 rigs from 153 rigs drilling for natural gas the previous year. Texas added two rigs for 308 rigs active statewide, down 62 from 370 rigs last year. New Mexico dropped four rigs for 102 rigs drilling in the state. Louisiana, three, and West Virginia, one, joined Texas as producing states seeing increases, while Pennsylvania, one, joined New Mexico in seeing a decline. The Permian Basin bucked the trend, losing one rig for 308 rigs at work across the region, 42 fewer rigs than the 350 active region-wide last year. The two most active counties in the Permian each saw declines this week. Lee County, New Mexico, remained the most active with 50 rigs, down two. Eddy County, New Mexico, was close behind with 49 rigs, also down two rigs for the week. Martin County reported 38 rigs, down two for the week. Reeves County added two rigs for 30. Midland County had 26 rigs, up one. Loving County fell two rigs to 21, while Ward County reported 14 rigs for a second week. Upton County had 10 for a third consecutive week. Enverus Foundations, part of the Energy Focus software as a service firm Enverus, said its U.S. rig count reached 678 during the week ended December 6th. Down by 15 rigs from the previous week's high point. The count is down by 18 rigs, or 3%, in the last month, and down 199, or 23%, year over year. Among the major plays, the Permian and Gulf Coast lost the most rigs last week, dropping 4 and 3, respectively, for totals of 299 and 78. The DJ Basin slid by 1 rig to 14. Both the Appalachian and the Williston Basins were flat at 42 and 36. The Anadarko Basin added 2 rigs to reach 52. Commentary. Public schools in the Permian Basin deserve our support. Across the Permian Basin, our public schools are foundational to our larger community. They educate our kids, they are major employers, they are a driving force for our economy, now and into the future. As I travel across Midland, Odessa, and all of West Texas, spending time with parents, teachers, women's clubs, pastors, chambers of commerce leaders, and local government officials, we share a sense of pride in our public schools. We work together, we go to church together, we cheer from the stands together on football fields under the Friday night lights, from the bleachers of packed gymnasiums, and in the auditorium supporting our students in one-act plays and choirs. We go to county stock shows to support all the kiddos who work so hard and learn so much raising animals. The more than 30 public schools in our region are essential to our families and communities. Many of us are concerned about what's happening in Austin. Our state budget surplus continues to grow, with the comptroller recently pegging an additional $23.8 billion available, but not used to raise the basic allotment or give teachers a raise. Instead, we're left to wonder why state leaders in Austin are underfunding our schools. Texas presently ranks in the bottom 10 nationwide for per-student funding, around $4,000 per student below the national average. We need to remind Texas lawmakers that money matters in public education, and our kids and teachers deserve the funding and support they need to succeed. Yet, after 4 special sessions focused not on our public schools, students, and their teachers, well-funded out-of-state interests keep pressing to send public money to private entities through school vouchers or education savings accounts, ESAs. School choice and parental rights matter, and both already exist within our public schools. Our schools have a rich diversity of innovative educational programs in career and technical education, CTE, and STEM supported by major employers across the Permian Basin. There are robust opportunities for involvement and input from parents in their child's classrooms, and locally elected school boards with leaders deeply committed to accountability, transparency, and excellence. Through its Permian Basin Innovation Zone, the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin is creating a literal pipeline for local students to enter the energy industry. Their energy program of study aligns credentials of value and post-secondary pathways in Permian Basin schools, and their work with local school districts is helping to ensure career, college, and military readiness. In Ector County ISD, public schools are meeting the needs of Texas energy companies through innovative career and technology initiatives in welding. Midland ISD's Fire Academy offers students the opportunity to become certified firefighters and be eligible for hire upon graduation. Rankin ISD and La Mesa ISD are 2 more trailblazers with CTE programs that unite educators and local employers to offer opportunities for every child. Recently announced jobs and education training grants to Pecos Barstow Toya ISD, Grand Falls Royalty ISD, and Monahans Wicket Peyote ISD are bridging local school districts with community colleges to deliver meaningful workforce development initiatives. It's smart to invest in public schools. A shift of additional money away from public schools would do far more harm than good for our students and communities. Recent research of some of the longest and largest voucher programs in the United States shows these programs do not improve student test scores or academic achievement over time. What's worse, they hurt college enrollment and completion rates for disadvantaged students. Even Texas voters don't see vouchers or ESAs as a priority in public education. According to the latest UT/Texas Politics Project polling, only 7% said vouchers or ESAs were the legislature's most important educational priority. school safety and teacher pay ranked much higher, 30 and 19% respectively. Leaders in Austin would be wise to fully and fairly fund our students, teachers, and local public schools first instead of diverting taxpayer money to ineffective, unaccountable schemes that will harm our rural communities most. Now is the time to fully fund our public schools, support our students, and invest in the teachers in our communities. Our students are counting on us. Baker Hughes rig count claims fourth weekly gain. Drilling activity continues to inch higher, though activity levels remain significantly lower than a year ago. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday, the U.S. rig count it has issued weekly since 1944 posted its fourth weekly gain, the first four-week rise since last November. The count rose one rig to 626, the highest level since September, yet still 154 rigs, or 20%, below the 780 reported last year. The number of rigs drilling for crude oil dropped two rigs to 503, 122 fewer than the 625 rigs drilling for oil a year ago. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas rose three to 119, the highest level since September, but down 34 rigs from 153 rigs drilling for natural gas the previous year. Texas added two rigs for 308 rigs active statewide, down 62 from 370 rigs last year. New Mexico dropped four rigs for 102 rigs drilling in the state. Louisiana, three, and West Virginia, one, joined Texas as producing states seeing increases, while Pennsylvania, one, joined New Mexico in seeing a decline. The Permian Basin bucked the trend, losing one rig for 308 rigs at work across the region, 42 fewer rigs than the 350 active region-wide last year. The two most active counties in the Permian each saw declines this week. Lee County, New Mexico, remained the most active with 50 rigs, down two. Eddy County, New Mexico, was close behind with 49 rigs, also down two rigs for the week. Martin County reported 38 rigs, down two for the week. Reeves County added two rigs for 30. Midland County had 26 rigs, up one. Loving County fell two rigs to 21, while Ward County reported 14 rigs for a second week. Upton County had 10 for a third consecutive week. Enverus Foundations, part of the Energy Focus software as a service firm Enverus, said its U.S. rig count reached 678 during the week ended December 6th, down by 15 rigs from the previous week's high point. The count is down by 18 rigs, or 3%, in the last month and down 199, or 23%, year over year. Among the major plays, the Permian and Gulf Coast lost the most rigs last week, dropping four and three, respectively, for totals of 299 and 78. The DJ Basin slid by one rig to 14. Both the Appalachian and the Williston Basins were flat at 42 and 36. The Anadarko Basin added two rigs to reach 52.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, December 11th. Kate says, one change at a time, healthy holiday eating. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. When it comes to one change at a time, healthy holiday eating for me falls under the pot calling the kettle heading. It just seems like every time I turn around, there's food. And it's never the healthy stuff. It's comfort foods, baked goods, desserts, fancy cocktails, and candy. For me, it's really hard not to fall off the wagon this time of the year. I am researching and writing about healthy eating, not just for you, but to keep myself on the path of eating healthier and maintaining the weight loss I've achieved in the last few years. I am hoping that working these healthy holiday eating tips into my own routine will make staying on the wagon a bit easier. I hope they will help you stay healthier this holiday season and for many holidays to come as well. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, recommends several great tips for healthy holiday eating. The first thing to do is create a holiday eating plan, because you cannot always control the food that is around you. Plan for keeping meals at the same times as usual. It will help keep your blood sugar steady, and you will be less likely to feel hungry and overeat. If a meal is served later than normal, have a small snack at the usual time and eat a little less at the meal. Offer to bring a healthy dish to holiday meals and parties so you and others have healthy options. Also remember, you don't have to deprive yourself of that once-a-year treat. Plan for it by cutting back on other high-carb, high-fat options and taking a small serving to savor. Don't skip meals to feast later. Breakfast is particularly important. If you skip meals, you will tend to overeat because you are very hungry. Remember, portion control is also a big part of healthier eating. A good trick to help with portion control is to use a small plate. A small plate tricks your brain into thinking you are eating more. And don't overfill your plate. If the meal is buffet style, instead of getting in line right away, walk past the selections and look at all the options. Then, while you are in line, plan what you will and will not choose. That way, you will choose the things you really want versus having a little bit of everything and overeating. As long as they are not covered in butter or sauces, vegetables are a great choice to keep your stomach full and your calories low. Vegetables are loaded with fiber, which will make you feel fuller, too. Remember to take small bits and eat slowly. It takes 20 minutes for your brain to know your stomach is full, so eating slowly will let you know when you are full, rather than overeating and being miserable later. During the holidays, along with the desserts and comfort foods, there is alcohol. Part of eating more healthily during the holidays also means avoiding or limiting alcohol. Cocktails can contain significant calories, and the alcohol in them can make it harder to say no to tempting foods. There is a reason bar food and comfort foods have a lot in common. Those kinds of foods make you want to drink more, which in turn makes you want to eat more. Exercise is one of the best things you can do for yourself, not just during the holidays, but all year. Exercise lowers stress, which helps with all the stresses of the holiday season. If you are a stress eater, like I am, exercise helps you reduce that urge as well. It also increases your caloric need so you can indulge a little more and not put on extra pounds. If you aren't a person who likes formal exercise routines, consider options like taking a walk or going to the park with kids between the holiday meal and dessert. When shopping, park a little further away than you normally would to add a few more steps to your routine, and take the stairs rather than escalators or elevators whenever possible. Finally, if you do fall off the wagon, forgive yourself and get back on. One extravagant dessert isn't going to make you gain 10 or 15 pounds. One heart attack on a plate meal doesn't cause chronic health issues. Those problems come when we use that one meal or dessert to give up on healthy eating, and that one meal becomes a pattern of unhealthy diet choices. Every single one of the things we have discussed this year as small changes that can make a big difference in your health have one thing in common. That thing in common is, don't give up. If you make a mistake, fall off the wagon, or slip back into old habits, it's okay. Just don't give up. Success in making healthy changes is pretty much everything else in life. Success doesn't happen when people have no setbacks or make no mistakes, success happens when people go on despite those things. I hope you have a safe, happy, and healthy holiday season. Region 18 ESC hosts Commissioner Morath, John C. Maxwell. Many local community and educational leaders came together at Region 18 Education Service Center to discuss the importance of values-based leadership for students through their recent launch of iLead. Attendees were able to hear from both Texas Education Agency Commissioner Mike Morath and Maxwell Leadership founder John C. Maxwell. The day began with a site visit to Greenwood Elementary to observe a classroom going through an iLead session and visit with students and teachers from multiple grade levels. Next was a data-driven presentation by Morath to superintendents and administrators from public, private, and charter schools in the region. And finally, number one New York Times best-selling author, coach, and speaker John C. Maxwell spoke on the topic, How Transformation Happens. The room was filled with like-minded local leaders from business, nonprofit, education, philanthropy, and faith sectors, all sharing a common goal of equipping students with the skills needed for future success, a news release said. The iLead curriculum is made up of values-based roundtables designed by Maxwell to allow the next generation of leaders to practice leadership while learning about values like choices, commitment, and responsibility, just to name a few. After a review by Morath and Region 18 ESE Executive Director and CEO DeWitt Smith, an exciting partnership between Maxwell Leadership and Region 18 was born. The Region 18 ESC Maxwell Leadership Institute of Texas iLead Pilot Initiative kicked off this fall with 7 local school districts and over 15,000 students participating, and the potential for impact is over 70,000 students. Quote, "Today, we heard feedback from administrators, teachers, and students about how iLead is impacting them. It's exciting to see that after a few short months, campuses and classrooms are experiencing positive changes in behavior, leadership skills, and relationships, just to name a few," Linda Jolly, Deputy Director of School Improvement and Federal Programs at Region 18 ESC, said in the release. Another aspect of Maxwell's tool is that it doesn't require a lot of teacher prep. Quote, "iLead is student-led," said Shannon Torres, Executive Director of Leadership at Midland ISD. "Our secondary teachers don't have to create or produce anything, which eases the burden on their already heavy workload. It's a leadership curriculum that puts students in charge from the outset," end quote. Michelle Cochran, Big Spring ISD AP biology teacher, says, quote, "As a teacher, we are always given new initiatives, and with it comes worries and frustrations. The unknown is hard. However, once my class started implementing iLead and the students started to open up with themselves and each other, those fears vanished," end quote. Students participating in iLead also shared positive feedback about iLead.
Odessa's Music Man has died at 88. Odessa lost a treasure on Thursday when Ronald Bennett died at age 88 in Midland. Bennett was a fixture on Odessa's arts scene for more than 6 decades. He was a local piano teacher extraordinaire, teaching thousands during his years beside the piano. In 2019, he was honored with the Friends of the Arts Award during the Black and White Ball. At the time, he told the audience, after standing ovation, that if you give to Odessa, it will give back to you. That was Ronald Bennett. He was always working to improve Odessa and the talents of young musicians. He didn't care who got the credit for doing great things as long as great things were done. During that 2019 ball, he was called a founding father of the arts in Odessa. His passion for the arts led him to have a hand in most all things art in Odessa for 60-plus years, including the Permian Playhouse, the Odessa Music Teachers Association, the Globe Theater, the Cultural Council, and many others. Bennett told the audience that day he was humbled by this wonderful thing. He said one of his favorite times was bringing the Texas Music Teachers Association convention to Odessa in 1987. He said it was a pivotal moment for the arts in Odessa as it helped form the Odessa Cultural Council. People took notice after that convention that the arts could bring tourism to our city. Bennett was also modest about his role in shaping the roots of Odessa's arts community. "I just came to town not knowing anybody and met a lot of wonderful people in the arts," he said. Bennett is a Jonesboro, Arkansas native who came to Odessa in 1959 after earning bachelor's and master's degrees at the Cincinnati Conservatory of Music, and his teaching career has now reached the third generations of some families. He was choir director at the First Christian Church, now Connection Christian, and at St. Luke's United Methodist and Westminster Presbyterian churches. Bennett wrote numerous pieces for local school choirs and 50 exercises to teach various techniques that are nationally published. His opera, Glowina, was performed in 1993 by the Globe of the Great Southwest and in 2016 by the Permian Playhouse, where he was vocal director for 37 years. He also wrote the opera Anna Green, based on a strange story he saw on a back page of the Dallas Morning News 20 or 25 years ago, he said at the time. Bennett also loved to tell the background of how he came to inspiration for Anna Green. It's about this woman in a mid-European country, like Romania, whose boyfriend had broken up with her, and she threw herself out the window of a hotel, said Bennett in 2019. The boyfriend happened to be walking by, and he broke her fall and broke his neck. I thought, there is an opera in there somewhere. At the peak of his career, Bennett was instructing 75 to 80 six-year-old through high school students each week. He continued to teach well into 2019. Many of Bennett's graduates became professionals, like noted Dallas songwriter Timothy Brown, Gail Bizzle, and others who play in churches and other settings. Published by companies in Van Nuys, California, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Florence, Kentucky, Bennett's 2 to 3 minute solos for elementary, mid-elementary, later elementary, early intermediate, and intermediate pianists include Takatina Tag, Desert by Night, What Color Were the Dinosaurs, The Stars Are Dancing, Awesome, Laser Show, Moonlit Ripples, Can You Imagine, and the early intermediates Shooting the Rapids, which sells 300 copies of sheet music annually. In 1974, at the request of the late Texas Secretary of State John Ben Shepherd of Odessa, Bennett wrote a ballad, The Spirit of Odessa, that was choreographed by Southern Methodist University professor Nikita Talin and performed at the Globe. He wrote an original composition for the Hood Junior High Choir, which his sister-in-law Barbara Shin directed every year from 1974 to 1991. Odessa Chamber of Commerce CEO President Rene Earls said he was a joy to know. He shined a light on the arts and culture in our community for many decades. I can't even begin to imagine the number of students, young and old, he impacted over the many years, providing voice and piano lessons and lending his talent to many events and organizations. Ronald Bennett's wife of 53 years, Dorothea, died in 2016. He is survived by his son, Ron, and his husband, Jim Ring of California. Ron Bennett said Friday a memorial for his father is scheduled at 2 p.m. January the 13th at Connection Christian Church, 4241 Tanglewood Lane in Odessa.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.